exalt you in this place. We lift you up. There is no other. There is no other like you. No other can even compare to you. So in one sense, there is no other to exalt. But we will not. We will not be silent. We exalt you, the Most High. We bless you and we honor you, O God. We thank you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the mighty Holy Ghost. But we exalt you above all things. And may you receive all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Because you alone are worthy, O Lord. And we do bless you and we do honor you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Give our worship team a great thank you and a hand of applause. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Well, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Amen. I want to just tonight, I'm just impressed of the Lord as I've been praying about this service and just kind of gave me a starting spot. But I think just sometimes we need to remind ourselves because of, you know, the world surely doesn't help you walk in faith. And I want to talk tonight about just something that, first of all, from Isaiah 53. So if you got your Bible, you can turn over to Isaiah 53. If you got the pad or there, I'm going to read this first of all from the King James Bible. Then I want to read it from it's called the Jewish Publication Society Old Testament. And really, this is really close to what Dr. Isaac Leeser, however how you would say his name, his translation of this. And I wanted to see this, that when Jesus came and bore what he bore for us, he did not leave out healing. All right? First of all, there was no sickness and disease until sin came into the world. And you hear all kinds of things. I'm not talking about the world. They can't. I don't expect them. But you hear all kinds of things in the Christian, the church, about how sickness and disease, how maybe that God might be using it to put on somebody, to teach them something. Well, if God is, he's the author of sickness. If God's the author of sickness, then God's the author of sin. If you're going to make that correlation, all right? But we know this. God's not the author of sin, right? Sickness and disease entered into the world because of mankind's sin. And then it's interesting, and we may turn over there later, but just to quote Acts 10:38, this just really a scripture that settles it for me. Speaking, Peter there, the household of Cornelius, said this concerning, he said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the man from Nazareth, with the Holy Ghost and power. See, Jesus didn't minister as the Son of God, even though he always was, but he laid that aside. He ministered as a man anointed by God. But how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. Now everybody say good. Then very next said, and healing. Healing is good. Then it says, all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Who was it Jesus was healing and doing good to? Those oppressed by the devil. Amen. Every sick person, every person that Jesus ministered to healing was being oppressed by the devil, not being taught by God. Well, somebody says, well, maybe Jesus didn't heal any of those people. No. The Bible said in the multitude would come every sick person to be healed. Amen. And I know that's something maybe around here that we're used to, but I tell you, if you're not careful, you let things slip. And something comes along like COVID-19 and you just wonder. Amen. It is an attack against all of us. Attack, what do we believe? What does the Bible say? It's attack on our faith. All right? And I think one of the things that we find out is that oppression, if you really study it out, is really a result of fear. And I think that's the greatest attack that's come with this situation. We're not saying that it doesn't exist, because it obviously exists. But it's the fear that's tagged with it. And if you're not careful, fear is like faith. They are magnets. But fear will attract the oppression of the devil. will attract those things that are not of God. Whereas faith, have you ever thought about it? When you call things that be not as though they were, in other words, you call your body might be feeling, you might be having symptoms of sickness and disease, but you call it healed. You are like a magnet with your words attracting the healing power of God to work in you. Well, fear does the same thing. All right? And so we've talked about that some, and a lot of folks talked about that. But I just want us to go back and let's settle this, that in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, healing belongs to us. I like to say it this way, healing is mine. I'm going to make it personal. Say that, healing is mine. So let's read here in Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now here, when it gets to verse 3, starts talking to him about when he went to the cross. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, I want you to know, here's Isaiah the prophet looking forward to the cross. And he calls it as something that's already done. Have you ever noticed God does that? Even though, you know, he told that serpent, he said, the seed of the woman bruised your head. Well, it was a few thousand years after that. But when God says it, you might as well just wait. It's going to happen. All right? How many of you know, and since the Bible says we win, guess what? We win. No matter what goes on in this world, we're going to win. Amen. All right. He goes on to say, I want to read through verse 10 with this. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Now, I want us to go back here because there's some words that are used here that are translated into the English that in the original language have other meanings and perfectly fit here. It's not like you're trying to change what's being said. But the Jewish Publication Society Bible here and many of the Old Testament, Isaac Leeser, I've always said Lesser. I'm going to say it that way. When we get to heaven, I'll ask Isaac how to say his last name. All right? And he'll probably ask me how to say mine too. But anyway, Isaac Lesser's translation, he has the Old Testament divided up into 24 books because the prophets are together. You know, it's in different, the five books of the Old Testament, the different sections. But in his, it reads almost exactly like this. And I want to read this starting in verse 1. Who would have believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shot up right forth as a sapling and as a root out of the dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness that we should look upon him, nor beauty that we should delight in him. He was despised and forsaken of men. Now, here's when that happened. He's talking about not in his life. And he's talking about when he went to the cross. Despised and forsaken of men. Listen to this. A man of pains and acquainted with disease. The King James says grief. That word grief, many places in the Old Testament is translated sickness. All right. The reason I'm going to this, I want you to see that disease, Jesus bearing the diseases and sicknesses of mankind was part of our redemption. It wasn't a side issue either. It's mentioned here really in this section more than even bearing our sins and our iniquities. All right. But it's with God, redemption is redemption. If you're redeemed, you're redeemed. All right? And it's from everything that came in with sin. Now look what it says here. Verse, keep reading, it says, as one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, we esteemed him not. Verse 4, surely our diseases he did bear, and our pains he carried. Glory to God. Now, when you think about bear, what do you mean? Well, how many of you have ever seen any of these documentaries about people that are going to climb Mount Everest or one of these mountains? And over in the Himalayas, they call them Sherpas. What do these guys do? They carry the stuff. They're bearing the load. They're carrying the load up there, all right? Now, if I don't give it to them and let them carry it, then they can't carry it. And what they bear, I don't need to bear. If Jesus has borne, if he is already born, as it says here, he carried it for me, he put it on my sicknesses and my pains he carried, then I don't have to carry them any longer. Well, you know, this is just my burden to bear. This is my thorn in the flesh. People say those. Well, what about your, I thought you were redeemed. Oh, yes, brother, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Well, you're redeemed from sickness and disease also then. So why are we carrying what we don't have to carry? Why are we bearing what we don't need to bear? All right? Now, one other thing with that. Well, let's read through verse 5 here, then we'll... He says, whereof we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement of our welfare was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. Now, here he says were. The King James puts it as are. I want to drop down to verse 10 with this. It says, yet it pleased the Lord to crush him by disease. At the cross. Why? So that you could be well today. So healing could be ours today. It pleased the Lord. The King James says, bruise him. He says, crush him by disease. With his stripes, with his bruise, we are healed. Now go over to 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's look there. He was wounded because of my transgressions. When you read the Bible, make it personal, okay? Sometimes we read it and we put it off on everybody, but he was crushed for my iniquities. The chastisement of my welfare was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. Healing is mine. Amen? Why? You know, say why? Because I'm going to guarantee you this isn't the last thing the devil's going to try to bring into this earth to kill people. It's not going to end with COVID-19. There's a lot more numbers than 19. And the devil, if one thing about him, he's persistent. And he hates you. But I thank God. See, we've got to stand up. We've got to know what we believe and why we believe it. All we're doing tonight is compiling evidence. And when the devil comes to try to put that on, I say, no, 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 you don't, Mr. Devil. No, you don't. I will not bear what my Savior bore. I will not carry what he carried for me. The price has already been paid. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, which is, what you see is taken from Isaiah here. He says this, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now I want you to notice there, When did he pay the price, if you will? When did he bear our sins? What's the tree represent? At the cross, right? When did he bear the penalty and take stripes so that we could be healed? When was that taking place? Same body, right? Same body. Now he was beaten before that, but that wasn't the end of it. It wasn't. Listen, some folks you know, they get caught up in how many stripes Jesus took on his back and all this kind of different things. You read one account and it's this, and the Romans did, you know, the Jews did 39 lashes, but the Romans, you know, if you read about the Romans, they did it till you were unconscious but still alive. So I don't know how many stripes, it doesn't matter how many stripes it was. By the time it was done, Jesus' back was one big bruise. And it doesn't matter. Well, you know, it had to be 39 because there's 39 different classifications of sickness. All right? You got people, I hear people go into all that stuff, and those people have the hardest time receiving their healing, and they don't ever operate in faith. It's just all this head knowledge. Forget all that stuff. If the Bible doesn't say how many, that doesn't matter. By his stripes, we are healed. But it's with the same body. Wasn't a different body. Wasn't a different Jesus. At the same time sin was taken care of, sickness and disease was taken care of. Amen? Same sacrifice. So there's not going to be, just as there's not going to be another sacrifice for sin, there's not going to be another sacrifice for healing. All right? Now, here's something else involved with that. Let's think of it this way now. What we're redeemed from, we don't automatically receive. It has to be gotten through faith. Not earned, but what's been done has to be received through faith. How many of you realize that every sinner's sins have already been taken care of? Already. And the poor sinner, not knowing that, will live all their lifetime in sin and die and go to hell. Yet it's already been paid for. Your sins were paid for. But somehow the gospel got you, and you, in an act of faith, accepted what had been done for you. You confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Ever how you know what that was, but that was an act of faith. You made a decision to become a Christian. And when you did that, you received what has already been done for you. When you decided to become a Christian, Jesus didn't have to go back to the cross. He didn't have to shed any blood because it's already been shed. Same thing true. It's true in the area of healing. When you decide you need healing in your body, now there's two things. We can live in, the Bible talks about living in health. All right, but also talks about receiving our healing. If it was just automatic, then there wouldn't be so many different ways in the New Testament to receive your healing. I mean, laying on of hands, the prayer of faith, speak to the mountain, anointing with oil, the prayer of agreement, gifts of the Spirit, all those different ways in the New Testament for people to receive their healing. I think healing is important to God. He wants his people well. Tell your neighbor, he wants you well. All right? And so these things are received through faith. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 8 for a moment. This is Matthew. So Peter here looked back at the cross. Isaiah looked forward to it. And then now here's Jesus on the earth. And he hasn't been to the cross yet. But do you know the moment? Well, first of all, the moment that before the foundation of the world, it was decided that the plan of redemption was in place, it was a done deal. But the moment the Holy Spirit came upon that Virgin Mary and she conceived, it was a done deal. By his stripes, you're healed. Well, he hadn't done anything yet. It's a done deal. Because with God, if he says it, it's done. All right? Now, here in Matthew 8, here's an interesting, Jesus is it here just kind of getting, this whole chapter talks about, somebody said a day in the life of the Jesus the Messiah and all the different things that took place. But start in verse 14, Matthew 8:14. When Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of fever. And he touched her hand and fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now here he's acting on what he hasn't done yet, but he's acting on the word that's already been spoken. Amen. He acted upon it. And we see that healing took place. You can see throughout the ministry of Jesus, whenever he sent them out two by two, we sent out the 70, sent out the 12. What was one of the primary things he told him to do? He said, preach that the gospel, the kingdom of God's come to you, but heal the sick, cleanse the leper, even raise the dead. You cannot separate healing and health from the gospel. You cannot separate it, all right, from that. Now, look to Hebrews chapter 11 then. Healing belongs to us. And so how do I you know, access. We're talking here about accessing our faith or accessing our healing by through faith, some of the principles of faith here. I had this thought come up in a little bit ago, and I kind of pushed it aside, but I want to bring it up here. Healing belongs to us. Healing is mine because of what Jesus did, right? So we need to make a shift, I think, the body of Christ does in our thinking. I'm never the sick trying to get healed. I'm the healed that the devil's trying to steal my healing. Because if it's mine, if it belongs to me, have you ever thought about this? A thief cannot steal something you don't possess. Amen? If you don't have $1 million cash laying in your house, a thief can't come in and take $1 million cash from your house. Right? Well, so I'm changing how I'm looking. Now, what do we do when we have stuff? I mean, anymore, most of us, right? How many of you are old enough to remember when you didn't lock your doors at your house? Remember when neighbors just used to walk in? Didn't knock. Just walk in, right? Well, we don't even really do that with our own families anymore, right? You go to I'm not just walking. I've got a key to their house. They got a key. But even then, they're knocking it. My grandson knocked at the front door the other day. Little guy, you know, 16 months old. He's knocking on the door. I don't care. He can come right in. His mom and dad, nothing to knock. No, I'm just joking about that. Amen. But think about that. That puts me in a totally different position. I'm not trying to get something that's out there. No, I'm keeping what I have. He said, well, I don't feel like I have healing. Well, you got to start calling. You got to start speaking by faith. Now, one of the things that happens is this. Look here in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. All right. You may not have seen healing in your body and health in your body on a continual basis. Maybe you've had times where you felt like you're healed. But I'm talking about healing and health working in you on a continual basis. You may not have seen that. But when I go to the Word of God and it says, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. And when I go to the Word of God, it says, He bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. When I see that from the Word of God, it starts to develop and paint a different image. It paints an image of me being healed and whole, living life pain-free. Free from sickness and disease. Now, some folks say, oh, that's not possible. It is possible. Have you remember Brother Hagin talking about, well, I went for years and didn't even know I had a body. What does he mean? No pain in it, no nothing. Now, he knew he had a body because he's eating, you know, he knew he had to sleep, he knew he had to eat. But you know what I'm saying? Was that possible? Is that just something special for, you know, those guys that went through? No, a lot of those guys went through the healing revival, died from sickness and disease. It's possible through faith. Faith. Now, what happens is, one of the translations of this says, faith, or one of the commentaries, faith brings into reality what you have hoped for. Hope in the Bible doesn't mean a wish. Hope in the Bible means a confident expectation, and it carries with it the accompaniment of joy. When you're in hope, you're joyful. Well, I'm just hoping. No, that's not hope. Hope is full of joy because hope is confidently expecting it to happen. Now, what's the difference between it and faith? Faith says, I have it now. Hope says, I'm going to have it someday. So faith takes that confident expectation and says, it's mine now. Healing is mine. Healing is mine. Okay? Now, I had, he's a Raymond graduate, a friend of mine that pastors in Atlanta, Georgia area, but he traveled in ministry for a while. He was teaching on some things about, you know, how to renew your mind and that. He said he prayed about this, and the Lord, and I think this is one of the best statements on how to meditate the Bible that I've ever heard. He said, the Lord told him this, he said, ask yourself this question. If what I'm reading in the Word, he bore my sicknesses and carried my, if that was true in my life right now, how would my life be different? And as you begin to talk that over with yourself, now don't tell me you don't talk to yourself. All of us have those conversations, right? You know, we have those me, myself, and I conversations. We're all three there. And we have those conversations with ourselves. Well, you think about that. If he bore my sicknesses and carried my pains and I was free from sickness and pain, how would my life be different right now? And that process of building that image of living life free from sickness, free from pain, all right? Now, no, let me tell you this now. Nowhere in the Bible says that you can believe God so much that you're never going to get older. Amen. I wish it would. We're going to get one of those bodies someday, a resurrected, glorified body, but we don't have it right now. Okay, this body, because of sin, we're going to get a redeemed body. It's redeemed from sickness and disease now, but it's not redeemed from that death. Eventually, if Jesus tarries, this body's going to quit functioning on this earth. That's all right. You're still alive. You're just not in this body. Okay? But looking at that, so how would my life be different? I mean, just in some practical areas, okay? Well, I wouldn't be taking that migraine medication. Now, nothing wrong with taking it if you need it, but I'm just saying, we're building an image. Now, don't do what a lot of folks used to do. I mean, early on when people started teaching in faith, and there's all kinds of crazy things, you know. I saw people stomp on their glasses, have to be led out of the meeting, you know, because they couldn't see. I mean, all kinds of stuff, you know, throw their crutches down and limp out of the meeting. You know what I'm saying? No, none of that has anything to do with you being healed. Stopping taking your medicine has nothing to do with being healed. All right? When you receive your healing, your doctor will tell you, well, you don't need those anymore. Right? You understand what I'm saying? Because that's like quitting taking your medicine would have been like Jesus jumping off the pinnacle of the temple. Now, how many of you know the Bible said he has given he's given his angels charge over you. You won't dash your foot against a stone. Just go ahead and jump off, Jesus. Those angels will take care of you. The devil quoting the word of God to the word of God made flesh. Incredible. If he has that much audacity, you think he won't try to lie to you and me? Absolutely. Well, what did Jesus say? No, you don't tempt the Lord your God. So faith isn't, that's not faith. Faith is like the woman with the issue of blood. Now, you think about this. She, for 12 years, spent all that she had, was nothing better, rather grew worse. She'd been to every physician that was up. And think about it, every time she went to a new physician, that worldly hope would rise up probably and say, maybe this is it, maybe this is the cure. But every time she got worse, not better. Think about that. And then the Bible finally says she heard about Jesus. She heard of Jesus. And she came in the press behind. But don't get that. It wasn't immediately. Because the story, it picks up. He goes back and tells the backstory on it. He said, when she heard about Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. Well, a lot of translations bring it out that the language that was used there was that she continually said. She continually said. She continually said. Now, what is keeping her from receiving her healing from what she believed? All she lacks is an opportunity for Jesus to go by her place. That's all she lacks. All right? Because here's the thing, she's not allowed to go out, she's unclean, not allowed to go outside, she's not allowed to spend time with people. Think about it, she can't go to church, she can't do a lot of things. She can go to the physician, and according to their customs, she's got to declare herself unclean, unclean. I mean, she could part the street because people were afraid of her because of the bleeding that she was going on in her body for 12 years. But that day, she didn't say anything. Now, here's another aspect. One of these days, you're going to have to decide to go all in. Because really, they had the right to stone her for being out in public and touching other people, according to the laws and traditions. But she made a decision that day, I'm going to be healed, or I'm going to die. Doesn't matter. She went all in, though. Okay? But she said, she continued to say, so who is she saying, if I touch but his garment, I shall be made whole? Who's she saying that to? There's nobody around to tell that to. They're not allowed to be with her. Even her family's not allowed to be with her. Who's she saying that to? She stated that to herself. Faith is not, your faith in this area, it's not for show. It's not for everybody else's. It's between you and Almighty God. So many times we try to maintain a good faith confession so everybody will think I'm really a faith person, when all the time on the inside you don't believe anything you're saying. You're just saying it because you heard somebody else say it. Take the time. Take the time. Meditate that. Let that image rise up on the inside. She finally got an image of herself being healed and whole after touching his garment. And when she touched it, immediately she knew within herself she'd been healed. Jesus turned around the press, remember? Turned around and said, who touched me? His disciples were amazed. Everybody's touching you, Master. How can you say you touched me? But he knew power had gone out of him, didn't he? Okay? So knowing that healing is mine, coupled with, married to, if you will, knowing that scripture and those scriptures, as I look at them, there's so many more in the Bible that we could look at, in the New Testament especially, look at that concerning healing, letting that produce an image on the inside of me, of myself, and an image of myself living life free from sickness, free from pain. Amen. Free from sickness, free from pain, and then starting to declare that by faith, calling something that may not be true right now as though it were, right? Calling things that be not as though they're, speaking by faith what the Word of God already says about me, that healing is mine. Why? By the stripes of Jesus. Amen. Father, we just thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you that healing belongs to us. As I said, Father, healing is mine. And each and every person that's a Christian can say, healing is mine. Actually, healing belongs to the world if they just knew it, because you died for all of us. Father, help us. Help us, Father, as we walk in faith. Help build that image of hope and confident expectation within us. I thank you, Father God, that in these days that we live in this world, though sickness and disease may be running wild everywhere else, we are healed in Jesus' name. Because of the healing that took place in our redemption, what Jesus did at the cross, what Jesus did at Calvary, by the stripes that he bore, is more than enough to cover my healing today until eternity, till I stand before you face to face. Healing belongs to me in the name of Jesus. Therefore, no sickness, no disease. I take authority over every sickness, every disease, every virus, everything that would come against my body. In Jesus' name, the healing power of God is in me, working in me mightily, affecting a healing and a cure. I thank you, Father God. I'm free. I'm free from arthritis. I'm free from diabetes. I'm free from heart conditions. I'm free in Jesus' name, because by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. I'm free in Jesus' name from pain, chronic pain. I'm free, hallelujah, from my lungs are free. My heart is free. My organs, every part of my digestive system is free. My blood circulation, I'm free and healed in Jesus' name, because by his stripes I am healed. Healing is mine. Father, we just thank you and we praise you. We honor you. Hallelujah. In this place. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I don't know if anybody is a visitor, but if you're here today and you might, if you don't know the Lord, you could be watching, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you're here and you're there and you want to rededicate your life, we're going to all stand up. If we'd all stand up in this congregation together, so everybody lift your hand before the Lord. Just repeat this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I come to you who sent him to be my Savior. I declare that he is my Savior. But I also declare that he is now my Lord. And his ways and his words will I follow all my life. I thank you, Father, that you raised him from the dead so I could be alive today. I give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Folks, we good? We good? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, This is Sunday night, so Wednesday night, Hour of Power, be here. All right. If anybody, don't forget, if you want to drop your offering, you can as you go out of the building. God bless you. We'll see you back. Amen.